Then Allah sends a crow, because the crow starts digging in the earth to show him how to hide the corpse of his brother. Now why does Allah send a crow? Because when man, who is ashraf al-makhluqat, stoops and falls from the level which Allah assigned him, then he becomes asfal al-safilin, the lowest of the low, lower even than the animals. Cain learns from a crow how to hide the dead body of his brother because he stooped lower than humanity. Cain said, "Woe to me, am I not even able to be as this crow and to hide the dead body of my brother?" Now come the key words, "Fa asbaha minan nadimin." He became one of those who regretted. Not minat ta'ibin, he didn't become one of those who repented, he becomes of the nadimin. Allah is telling us that when we sin, when we make a mistake, we will feel the effects of that in our spirit. We will feel upset about it, we will feel guilty, we will feel depressed, anxious. But unless and if we do tawbah and cleanse our soul of that, we will just go on living in that depression forever. See, if Cain had done tawbah at this point, he could have been a ta'ibin. He could have had his sin forgiven and he would have been saved. But because he doesn't admit his crime, he just goes on feeling that guilt. Remember in the play Macbeth, when Lady Macbeth commits that murder and she can't forget that drop of blood. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. He becomes one of those who regret. Now we learn from a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the gist of which is that whoever starts a good deed will get the reward of all those who emulate him. If you do one good deed and someone else sees you do it, and they do it because of you, as long as they go on doing it, you are also getting the reward for it, and so are they. But whoever starts an evil deed, he gets a share of the punishment of all those who emulate him. You're backbiting openly, you're gossiping openly, and people see you and think, what the heck, you know, everyone's doing it, and they do it as well, you're going to get a share of their azab as well. And we learn from the same hadith that because Cain was the pioneer of murder, he gets a share in the punishment of all those who commit murders after him. Now just think of that heavy burden, all the murders that took place after that. Now what is the link between this story and the discourse on the Jews? The Jews were the chosen ummah before the Muslims. When they did not fulfill their duty and Allah took this honor away from them and granted it to the Muslims, they didn't start analyzing themselves, they were devoured by envy. And they did their best to get at the Muslims. So that's why Allah has related this story. Min ajli dhalik, because of this murder, we ordained for the children of Israel and for the rest of mankind as well. أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If anyone kills a person, not in retaliation of murder, and to spread mischief in the land, it would be as if he has killed all of mankind. And look how desensitized we have become. We open our newspapers, 5 killed, 10 killed, and we shrug our shoulders and turn to the next page. That's how callous we've become. But one murder in Allah's eyes, it's as if you've killed the whole of humanity. And if anyone saves a life, it would be as if he saved the life of all mankind. Like John Donne once said, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me because I'm involved in mankind. And therefore, never sent to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. This is the vision of Islam as well. And indeed, there came to them our messengers with clear proofs. Even then after that, many of them continued to exceed the limits by transgressing in the land. The recompense of those who wage war against Allah and His messenger, this is for people who commit acts of terrorism against Islam and do mischief in the land, their recompense is only that they shall be killed or crucified, or their hands and their feet shall be cut off from opposite sides, or they shall be exiled from the land. Now people read this ayat and think, oh, how harsh, how cruel Islam is, but there's a story behind it. We find that some sick people were sent to be cured in the outskirts of Medina. After healing, they mutilated and blinded the shepherds and stole their sheep, and they also renounced Islam. So when they were captured by the Prophet ﷺ, they were punished in a similar way. And this is the background of this ayat. So anyone who commits an act of outrage against humanity will be punished in this way. ذَلِكَ لَهُمْ خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا. This is their disgrace in the world. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And a great torment is theirs in the hereafter. Except for those who came back as Muslims with repentance before they fall into your power. As the Prophet ﷺ once said, the one who repents of his sin is like one who has no sin. So if they come to you and they repent of their sin before you've caught them, not that after you've caught them, then they repent. No, if they repent of their sin before you've caught them and they surrender themselves, then you are supposed to forgive them. In that case, know that Allah is forgiving, most merciful. This is the mercy of Islam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Again and again Allah addresses us. Wake up, Muslims. O you who believe, ittaqullah. Be conscious of Allah. Wattaqu ilayhi alwasila. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And seek the means of nearness to Him and strive hard in His cause so that you may be successful. Allah is teaching us in this ayat the steps that we take to attain closeness to Him. What's the first rung on that ladder? اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ تَقْوَى. Where is taqwa found? In our hearts. The Prophet ﷺ said, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا. This is where Allah consciousness starts. This is the core of Allah consciousness. After being conscious of Allah, do we sit back and say, oh, Allah knows how much I love Him? No, that's not it. It's a lifelong struggle. It's a lifelong progress. It's a lifelong effort. Seek the means of closeness to Him. Like when you love someone, you want to be as close as you can to them. When you make a new friend and you want to, you know, discover as much as you can about them. Allah says, seek the means of nearness to Him. How do we seek the means of nearness to Allah? This word, wasila, which is so erroneously understood these days. People say, oh, we'll make the Prophet a wasila, and that means the Prophet ﷺ will have all our sins forgiven. And they say, oh, I'm making Hazrat Ali a wasila, or I'm making so-and-so good person a wasila. That's not what wasila means. Wasila means anything you do to bring you closer to Allah. Now that can be whether you're emulating the sunnah, or you're getting up for tahajjud, or you're reading the Quran, or you're trying to understand the Quran. All this comes under wasila. Whatever you do to become close to Allah. And we learned that in that hadith Qudsi, which I read out a few days ago, that مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. The most beloved thing whereby my slave draws near to me, Allah is giving us tips here, is by means of the fara'is which I have imposed on him. By adhering to our 5 daily prayers, by adhering to our fast, by adhering to all that Allah has made compulsory upon us. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَاتِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my slave goes on drawing nearer to me by means of voluntary acts of worship until I love him. Nawafil, whether in prayers or in sadaqat or any other good deed. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Allah gives us the clue to the answer. جَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. The best means of drawing closer to Allah is just to try and get close to Him. To try and struggle in whatever way you can. What is jihad? Just the military jihad? No, that's just one aspect of jihad. There's an intellectual jihad when you're learning knowledge for Allah's sake. There's a psychological jihad when you feel like telling that lie but you don't tell that lie for Allah's sake. There's a spiritual jihad when you force yourselves to pray even though you're tired, even though you're sleepy. Jahidu fi sabilihi. Do jihad in all aspects of His deen. Spread His deen whichever way you can, whether it's by means of the internet or by means of the sword. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Why should we do all this? People leave Allah for their old age. Oh, I'm too young to obey Allah right now. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. If you want to succeed, you want to be known as winners, then these are the means that we have to adopt. Now we need to know that wasila has one other meaning as well, which is not the reference in this ayat, but it's an important meaning. Wasila also refers to that highest peak in paradise, the most exalted place in paradise, reserved for one person and one person alone. And the Prophet ﷺ, who spent his whole life doing things for us, praying for us, asked us just one thing. He said, you should pray that I am granted that wasila. And he also said, whoever prays for my wasila will get my intercession. And we read in that dua after azan, Aati Muhammadan il wasila. Grant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that wasila, that peak in paradise. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. If you wish to succeed, here are the ingredients for success. You know, like you get those self-help books, how to be a winner and how to go through tough times. Allah has given us these tips for success here. Indeed, those who disbelieve, if they had all that is in the earth, and there's much again therewith, to ransom themselves thereby from the torment on the day of judgment, it will never be accepted of them, and theirs will be a painful torment. They will long to get out of the fire, but never will they get out therefrom, and theirs will be a lasting torment. If we don't want success, then this is what we can expect. وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ. And as for the male thief and the female thief, see, total equality here. I don't know why women complain so much. Cut off their right hands as a recompense for that which they committed, a punishment by way of example from Allah. And Allah is all-powerful, all-wise. But whosoever repents after his crime and does good deeds, then indeed Allah will pardon him. Indeed Allah is of pardoning, most merciful. Now I just go a little bit into this ayat, because this is one of the ayat that, again, you know, people just go insane when they read this ayat and say Islam is so primitive and savage and barbaric. We need to understand, firstly, that in Islamic law we find a protection of six things, basic human rights. The right to worship, the right to live, the protection of the intellect, which is why, incidentally, wine and intoxicants are haram, because they impair your intellect. The right to education, the protection of your reputation, and we all know of the slander laws, and the right to property, protection of property, and that's where this comes in, and the protection of lineage as well. Now we need to understand that before this ayat is implemented, there's a very strict framework which has to be observed. Number one, that stolen object should have been taken from a secured environment. He has to break into a place. Not that if you leave your car unlocked, lying outside, and the key is inside, and you can't cut off the thief's hand for that. Secondly, it cannot be any foodstuff, fruits, etc. Thirdly, nor for something he needs as a necessity, and this is really important. For example, it's cold, and a homeless tramp breaks into a store and steals a blanket, his hand will not be cut off for that. It will not be cut off for any haram instruments, such as, you know, musical instruments or wine. It has to have a basic value, not like Jean Valjean, you know, for stealing a loaf of bread. That doesn't come in Islam. His hand cannot be cut off if it's his own property, and his hand will not be cut off if it belongs to a near relative. Now these are just a few of the rules that I've read out. There are many more as well, the conditions and qualifications observing this. Just to give us an idea that this is the framework within which this law is implemented. See, Hazrat Ali once said, we hate that which we do not know. We don't know about all these rules. So we read this ayat and we think how primitive and how savage Islam is and how people would abuse this law. And if we want a final argument, we can just compare the rates of crime and burglary in Saudi Arabia and other states, such as our own country, where this law is not implemented. In Saudi Arabia, people can leave their shops open, unguarded, and just go out for their prayers, because they know no one's going to dare to steal anything. Wallahu azizun hakim. And Allah is all-powerful, all-wise. But whosoever repents after his crime and does good deeds, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will forgive him. See, this is the beauty of Islam. The had is for the physical purification and the tawbah is for the spiritual cleansing. Allah doesn't say that after his hand has been cut off, treat him as an outcast for the rest of his life. We find that once a thief's hand was cut off and the Prophet ﷺ sent for him and said, قُلْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. Say, I seek Allah's forgiveness and I repent towards him. And when the thief did so, he prayed for that thief, اللهم تُوبْ عَلَيْهِ. O Allah, forgive him. See his sensitivity in giving that man hope and sending for that common thief. We don't even know his name. But the Prophet ﷺ sent for him. Such was his concern that the man should feel spiritually cleansed and not feel an outcast for the rest of his life and feel, well, you know, now that I have been branded a thief, I might as well continue in this. No, he did it so that man would be given the chance to reform. This is the Islamic perspective. Hate the sin, not the sinner. One more word about this ayat on stealing. There was a Disney cartoon called Aladdin, and in that they had one scene whereby the heroine just picks up a fruit and they're going to chop off her hand. And we all saw that cartoon and we showed that cartoon to our children. Now when we reinforce their brainwashing, what then can we expect for ourselves but an apologetic attitude towards Islam? And Allah says, indeed Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. Do we still find it savage? We still can't understand it? Then no. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Do you not know that to Allah alone belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth? Since when have we been granted the authority to pass judgments against Islam? Allah punishes whom He wills, and He forgives whom He wills. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And Allah is able to do all things. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let not those who hurry to fall into disbelief grieve you. Of such who say, we believe with their mouths, but their hearts have no faith. And of the Jews are men who listen much and eagerly to lies. Listen to others who have not come to you. Allah goes on to say, O Messenger, let not those who hurry to fall into disbelief grieve you. Of such who say, we believe with their mouths, but their hearts have no faith. And of the Jews are men who listen much and eagerly to lies. Listen to others who have not come to you. They change the words from their places. They say, if you are given this, take it. But if you are not given this, then beware. And whomsoever Allah wants to put in trial, you can do nothing for him against Allah. Those are the ones whose hearts Allah does not want to purify. For them there is a disgrace in this world, and in the hereafter a great torment. سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَكَّالُونَ لِلْسُحْتِ They love to listen to lies. They love to devour anything forbidden. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of the Jews. Allah says, and they love to listen to lies and they love to eat haram. And that is why Allah has decided not to purify their hearts. See, we read words like these that Allah does not wish to purify their hearts, and then we think, well, it's not their fault, is it? It's Allah's decision. Look at what they did to incur this decision from Allah. They love to listen to lies. What do we like to listen to? What sort of conversations do we enjoy most of all? What sort of speech do we delight in? They love to devour haram. So if they come to you, either judge between them or turn away from them. If you turn away from them, they cannot hurt you in the least. And if you judge, judge with justice between them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ Indeed Allah loves those who act justly. But how do they come to you for decision while they have the Torah, in which is the decision of Allah? Then after that they turn away. وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ For they are not really believers. When we have this Qur'an, when we have Allah's judgments therein, still we are running after other people, still we are impressed by other sources. This is not good enough for us. So Allah says such people aren't really believers. Indeed, we send down the Torah. Therein was guidance and light by which the prophets who submitted themselves to Allah's will judged for the Jews and the rabbis and the priests, for to them was entrusted the protection of Allah's book and they were witnesses thereto. فَلَا تَخْشَوُ النَّاسَ وَخْشَوْنِي So do not fear people. وَخْشَوْنِي And fear me. And do not sell my verses for a miserable price. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ For whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, such are the disbelievers. We have the Quran before us. We have the Quran's laws before us. Are we implementing the Quran's laws? Because if we're not, Allah is saying, whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, be they Muslim, Jew or Christian, such are the disbelievers. And we ordain therein for them, life for life, an eye for an eye, a nose for a nose, an ear for an ear, a tooth for a tooth, and wounds are equal for equal. But if anyone remits the retaliation by way of charity, it shall be for him an expiation. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ Whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed, such are the wrongdoers. First Allah called them kafirun, now Allah says zalimun. And who is a zalim? Someone who deprives someone of his right and grants it to someone else. And in their footsteps we sent Isa, son of Maryam, confirming the Torah that had come before him. And we gave him the Injil, in which was guidance and light and confirmation of the Torah that had come before it. A guidance and an admonition for the Allah conscious. Let the people of the Injil judge by what Allah has revealed therein. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ Such people are the disobedient. Three things. Kafirun, Zalimun and Fasiqun. Disbelievers, wrongdoers and disobedient. Now, whose laws are implemented in our courts today? Are the Quranic laws being implemented in our courts? And if they're not, then we know which category we come under. We know how Allah regards us, because these are Allah's words. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ We have sent down the book to you with truth, confirming the scripture that came before it, and trustworthy. So judge among them by what Allah has revealed. And do not follow their desires, diverging away from the truth that has come to you. Allah tells us again and again, when you have the Quran, why do you seek other sources of law? To each among you, we have prescribed a law and a clear way. If Allah had willed, He would have made you one nation, but that He could test you in what He has given you. Allah could have forced us all to be Muslims. But then what was the point of giving us free will? A test of obedience. What then should we focus on? What then should be our priorities? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ Compete in good deeds. Compete with one another in good deeds. Why? إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا Don't you know the return of all of you is to Allah. He is Maliki Yawm al-Din. He will ask us about how we spent our time, how we spent our wealth, and how we spent our youth. then he will inform you about that in which you used to differ. وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. So judge among them by what Allah has revealed. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Do not follow their desires, but beware of them, lest they turn you far away from some of that which Allah has sent down to you. No compromise, no apologies. And if they turn away, then know that Allah's will is to punish them for some sins of theirs. And truly, most of mankind are disobedient to Allah. How sad, but how true this is. إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ لَفَاسِقُونَ. Most of mankind are just too busy having a good time. أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Do they seek the judgment of ignorance? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. Who then is better in judgment than Allah for a people who have yaqeen? Whose laws do we seek? Whose laws are we impressed by? Whose lifestyles are we impressed by? Whose cultures are we beglamoured by? Allah's culture, the culture of Islam, or other cultures? Allah says all that is not Islam is ignorance. And this has become so distorted that we think of Islam as ignorance. Allah says all that is outside Islam is ignorance. But Allah says only people who have yaqeen can accept Allah as their arbiter in judgment. Only people with yaqeen, not people like us with such weak iman. We need yaqeen for that. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians as close friends. They are but close friends of each other. And if any amongst you takes them as close friends, then surely he is one of them. It's a matter of loyalties. When you are very close friends to a person, then after some time you start identifying yourself with that person. Your loyalties, your interests, your likes, dislikes, all become the same. So Allah warns us, don't become close friends with them. Interaction is fine. We are allowed to do good to them. We are allowed to have alliances with them. But once we make the mistake of entrusting our secrets to them, they're going to mess up our thinking. Indeed, Allah does not guide those people who are the wrongdoers. Who is it who still are impressed by the non-Muslims? You see those in whose hearts there is a sickness of hypocrisy, hastening to their friendship, saying, we fear lest some misfortune of a disaster may befall us. Perhaps Allah may bring a victory or a decision according to His will. You know, like people say, oh, we do social drinking because otherwise our boss would be offended. People who perjure the hereafter for the sake of people in this world, Allah says, then they will become regretful for what they have been keeping as a secret in themselves. And those who believe will say, are these the men who swore their strongest oaths by Allah that they were with you? All that they did has been in vain. حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Their deeds are lost. فَأَصْبَحُوا خَاسِرِينَ. And they have become the losers. Now Allah gives us an option. Either we can be like the hypocrites, running after other people, running after the non-Muslims. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِي فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O you who believe, whoever from among you turns back from his religion, despises Islam, is ashamed to call himself a Muslim, hides his Muslim identity, he should know Allah will bring a people whom he will love and they will love him. Humble towards the believers, stern towards the disbelievers, fighting in the path of Allah and not afraid and not fearing the blame of those who blame. This is the grace of Allah, which He bestows on whom He wills. And Allah is all-sufficient for His creature's needs, all-knower. This is an awesome ayah. Allah tells us, O you who believe, O you who call yourselves Muslim, if you're not interested in this deen, if you're not interested in seeking Islam, in trying to convey Islam, then fine, Allah doesn't need us anyway. Allah will bring another people. Now the characteristics of these people are very important because they are the ideal people, the ideal ummah, the ummah that we're supposed to be like. Whom he will love and they will love him. It starts with their inner beliefs. Allah loves these people and they love him. In other words, it's a two-way relationship. Not people who say, well, you know, I know Allah loves me so much, he's going to forgive me my sins. No, people who are constantly striving to gain closeness to Allah. Humble towards the believers, stern towards the disbelievers. After describing their inner beliefs, Allah speaks of their attitudes to people. How are they with the rest of mankind? They are humble towards the believers, soft-hearted towards the Muslims. and stern towards the disbelievers. What does this mean? No compromise and no apologies. They're not sucking up to the non-Muslims. They're not trying to run after them, to please them, to gain their praise somehow. See, our thinking is so twisted that we're exactly the other way around. We're harsh with the Muslims, we despise the Muslims, and we're constantly trying to flatter and please the non-Muslims. Like, there's this lady I know, and she's a convert, and she's from Scotland, and she started hijab some time back. So she was telling me some days ago that she met a Muslim woman, a Pakistani, who told her that, "You're from Scotland, why are you dressed in hijab? Just look at the thinking, the inferiority complex. Because you're from Scotland, why are you doing hijab? Why are you obeying Allah?" Allah says they should be humble towards the believers and stern towards the disbelievers. Yujahiduna fi sabilillah. That's not where it ends. It's not just talk. Their life's mission is dedicated to Islam. Yujahiduna, they're struggling. They're not just sitting back and relaxing and saying Allah is Ghafoor or Rahim. They're doing something. What are they doing? What is their life's goal? Fi sabilillah, for Allah's deen. All the sacrifices, whether financial, whether intellectual, whether sacrificing their time or their knowledge or their talents or their energies, everything has been dedicated to spreading Islam. And above all, la yakhafuna lawmata la'im, the most important of all. They do not care about anyone who might be blaming them. They're not afraid of people. They're afraid of Allah. Hazrat Ali once said, "Certainly, the earth is not devoid of those who rise in the honor of God for good reason, either openly, notably, or in fear and obscurity." And Thomas Leary goes on to say, "They consider easy what seems hard to those who lead a life of comfort, and they take to what the ignorant are averse to. They are physically in the world, yet their spirits are suspended in the highest liberation, a spiritual liberation not defined by human laws." What is this liberation of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah? La ilaha illallah means Allah, only Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah means only the Sunnah and nothing else. La yakhafuna lawmata laim. They are not afraid of the blame of anyone who blames them, whether it's their parents or their spouses or their friends or their neighbors. Dhalika fadlullah. You feel sorry for such people? Do you call them fanatics? Do you think they're losers? This is the grace of Allah. Don't treat it lightly. People who fulfill these qualities, this is the grace of Allah. It's a treasure of Allah. يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, which He bestows on whom He wills. Whom does He wish to bestow it upon? Those who seek it. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah is vast. His treasuries know no limits. Alim, all-knowing. He knows who best deserves this treasure.